Hi, and welcome to Planet Reinvention. I'm Coach Pamela, and I am so excited to help you kickstart your reinvention journey. If you've decided to embark on this course, then you know what it's like to be dragged down by an unfulfilling feeling, and you are not willing to put up with it anymore. You're ready to take control of your work and your life, feel more relaxed and confident, and experience the joy and satisfaction of sustainable success. This course is your first step in that journey, and I am here to guide you. In this kickstart, I'm going to give you a precise overview of the first steps you need to take to create work you want and a life you love. We'll cover what reinvention is and how you make it happen. I'll clear out the myths and fantasies that can block your success and outline how you identify your reinvention goals. And we'll also talk about creating a reinvention budget. Very important. I'll also give you proven strategies that can help you manage your fear and practical tips for networking and overcoming barriers. Now, you may notice that there's a bit of difference in the audio quality between this welcome message and the rest of the training. That's because this is one of our foundational courses at the Reinvention Institute, and I started teaching this in 2003. Since then, I've helped thousands of other action-oriented reinventors just like you overcome hurdles and create amazing careers and lives for themselves. And now it's your turn, and this is your moment. Let's get started.
So the first question that is on the table is, why should you even listen to me on this topic? Why should I be your guide to career reinvention? And the reason is that I've made this journey many times in my own career. And I'll just start off by telling you just a little bit about my story and why you should listen to me on this topic. My reinvention story starts many years ago. I won't tell you how many years ago, but it starts in college, in fact, and I didn't quite know what I wanted to do, but one day found myself sitting in a lecture, political science, in fact, international political science, and I had the first epiphany of my life, and it was truly one of those moments where the clouds parted and the light came streaming down and I could hear all the harps playing, and all of a sudden it was abundantly clear to me what I was meant to do with my life. And what came to me in that moment was that I was actually meant to travel around the world and have somebody else pay for it. And so that was my goal. That was it. And so I decided, hey, I was going to apply myself to that task. And because it was a time where finance was big, I decided that international finance would be my goal and that I would love to move down to Latin America and do some kind of structured finance. So that's what I decided to study. I went and, in fact, got my master's in that and then, in fact, did land a job on Wall Street, not actually doing structured finance, but financial information for brokers and traders. So, hey, that was close enough. And I figured that I would learn about the industry and make connections, and I was on my way to achieving my career dream that I had worked for 8 years or so. Well, about 2 years into that job, I realized that I had absolutely no interest in finance. And so it was a big shock to me that here this thing that I had been preparing for so long, I absolutely had no interest in. But I was doing well. I had a great boss. Every time I said, made noises about leaving, he would throw more money at me. And so therefore, I decided that I would stay and just sort of ignore the fact that I didn't enjoy it. And so more time passed. And in fact, I kept getting promoted and kept doing well. And one day, about 5 years in, I found myself at a director level, but really unhappy. In fact, not only did I not like the topic, I realized that with very few exceptions, I didn't like the people that I was dealing with. And I was miserable. And in fact, working till 2 or 3 in the morning, just unhappy. Then, as things often do in the career world, they changed. And my boss that I loved left, and the politics of the organization got ugly, and it became even more miserable. And so, in fact, I decided that I just needed to quit, and did, without another job, without an idea of what I wanted to do. And so there I was left with no income, no idea, and sort of trying to figure it out. At that point, I kind of looked around to see if there was anything that could help me with that process, and there wasn't, so I had to figure it out the hard way. I went through using some examples and some steps that we're actually going to talk about tonight. I sort of targeted that the entertainment field might be something that I was interested in. I realized that I enjoyed what I did on in Wall Street. I enjoyed the mechanics of my job, but I didn't enjoy the topic and I didn't enjoy the people. So I thought that if I could continue to do a similar kind of job, which was negotiating deals, that if I could do it for a topic that I enjoyed with people that I enjoyed, that maybe it would actually be okay. So once I came up with that idea, I had a few problems. One was that I didn't know whether or not the job that I did existed in the entertainment field. The second problem was that I didn't know anybody in the entertainment field. I actually had no connections there. The third problem was me and 1,000 other people wanted to get into the entertainment field, so it was competitive. And number four, I just had no idea how to make that kind of a transition. How was I going to show them that I could do that job without any background or any experience in the entertainment field, and I had zero. Well, it took me about 7 months with a lot of trials and tribulations and things that I learned along the way, which I will now teach to you. I, in fact, did make that switch and landed in the entertainment field doing a job that I loved and, in fact, had 10 great years that really were wonderful. Just hit it spot on. And then one day I woke up and said, you know what, this has been really, really great, and yet I want to do something different. It was time to reinvent myself again, and that's why I am now here on the phone with you talking about career reinvention, teaching back what I had to learn the hard way many years ago. So that's my story. I've done it. I've been in the trenches and made all the mistakes, and now I'm here to help you so that you don't have to go through all of the hard stuff that I went through. You'll go through your own, but not everything. So that's why I'm your guide. First, let's talk about what career reinvention even is. This is a topic that many people think is sort of the big change, like you all read about. If you happen to see the More magazine article, everybody thinks it's that big radical change, like the UN staffer that went and became a chef. These are the big ones that the media always writes about, and we think, oh my gosh, I have to leave everything behind and do something completely different. But I'm here to tell you that although that's one type of reinvention, that not all reinventions have to be like that. They don't all have to be in just a radical restructuring of every aspect of your life. There are lots of reinventions that you can do that are things like just switching roles within your same company. That actually is a reinvention. If you're in a magazine and you go from the business side to the editorial side, that's a reinvention. Or finding a different job but in the same field also constitutes a reinvention. Or if you want to do the same job but just not within the same organization, say you want to start your own business, that can be a reinvention. Or doing something like our chef did, changing industries altogether. So just understand that in order to reinvent yourself, it doesn't always mean making a radical change. In fact, we've had clients who have come in and reinvented themselves within the same job. Just changed the components of what they did in their job, changed how they did it, and that also is a reinvention. The key to reinventing yourself is really about crafting a life that's in harmony with a job that gives you passion and fulfillment. It doesn't always mean leaving. That's the first lesson of reinvention, that you don't always have to leave in order to reinvent. Sometimes you do. So don't want to act like, hey, you know, we can all make it different. Sometimes you actually do have to leave, but not always. So understand that there's lots of different ways that you can reinvent yourself. Now, the second thing is, how do you make a reinvention even happen? And the metaphor that I like to use for reinvention is that it's a cultural transition. It's actually like moving to a foreign country. So this is what happens. You decide that you want to move to, say, Brazil, another country. Then you have to learn how to translate your background so that you can make that move. So the way the metaphor works is if you wanted to go to Brazil, you would learn about the culture, you'd learn about the people. You'd have to learn the language of Brazil. You'd have to learn Portuguese in order to make yourself understood to the people there. You'd find out sort of the ins and outs and kind of maybe visit it a time or two and talk to people who had lived there about their experiences before you'd make that transition. The same is true from a career reinvention standpoint. You have to pick a target. Then you have to learn about that target and do some researching and network with people who have done that, find out about the ins and outs of your reinvention goal. You then, key piece, have to learn how to translate your background so that it makes sense within the framework of your new career. This translation process is really the essence of making a successful reinvention. This is where most people tend to fall down, is that they send their old background to their new field, or they describe themselves in their old way in the new field without translating, without using the new language, and then people don't understand how what they do is applicable within the new field. So you actually have to do a translation process in order to make yourself understood and to be successful when you get there. We'll talk more about that metaphor as we go on, but just keep that in mind. The first question on the table around reinvention is, are you even ready to reinvent yourself? So just because you show up doesn't necessarily mean that you're ready. So here's the thing. What does career reinvention actually take to make it happen? What do you have to do? And these are the things that you want to know about up front. First thing that you have to really be willing to do is you have to be willing to take action despite fear. Now notice that I didn't say get over your fear. Fear is something that is biological. We're all programmed as humans to feel fear. It's what kept us safe when we were in the caves. Saber-toothed tiger showed up and all of a sudden the biology of our bodies flooded us with adrenaline and made us stress and run off so that we could recognize danger when it showed up. So we're biologically programmed when presented with something new or unfamiliar to feel fear. So you understand that you're not going to get over that, but you can't let it stop you from taking action. So here's the thing. You must be willing to take action in spite of your fear. That's the first thing that is required in order to reinvent yourself. Willingness to take action in spite of your fear. The second thing that you have to be willing to do in order to reinvent your career is that you have to be willing to change your goal or to find a new path to your goal. And one of the questions that we got before the class tonight was, how do I identify a new career without going down that road and finding out that it's not going to be the future that I want? And this is a very, very common question. It's actually a very common desire to know what the goal is before you get started and to really be sure. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in just a bit. But let me just say at this point that you have to be willing to have your goal change. So you're going to have to go down the road a little bit to find out whether or not it's actually the path for you. That's the thing. It's a myth. You don't actually have enough information up front to make that kind of a decision. Hear me when I say that again. You don't have enough information up front to make the decision whether or not it's the right goal for you. You can have an idea, but until you go down the path and start to gather more information and start to learn things, you won't really know. So you actually have to be willing, if you go down that path and you get information that it's not the right thing for you, you have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to have that happen, have it be not the right thing, and make a change. And we'll talk a little bit more about how you can forestall some of the problems around what to do if that actually happens. But first thing is that you actually have to be willing to have it happen. It's not that uncommon. The next thing that you have to be willing to do to, in order to reinvent yourself is that you have to be willing to live outside your comfort zone. And someone very wise once said that the life that you want to live is just outside your comfort zone. So understand that that life that you're actually seeking requires you to be uncomfortable for a while because you're expanding the world in which you live. So if you have a desire to remain comfortable at all costs, it's going to be very difficult to reinvent yourself. So just know that reinvention requires you to be outside your comfort zone and to be okay with it. Not comfortable, but just be okay with being outside your comfort zone for a while. The next thing that career reinvention requires you to do is that it requires you to really be honest with yourself. You have to be willing to be honest with yourself. Career reinvention is an internal and an external process, and so you have to be willing to be honest with yourself both internally to say, hey, you know, I said outside that this is what I want, but my inside is telling me something different. Or if you're getting data from the outside that's contradicting what you think, you have to be honest with yourself to say, you know what, I thought it was this way, but in fact I'm getting data that says it's not. So honesty, ruthless honesty with yourself is an essential piece of career reinvention. In fact, it's one of the biggest things. If you're not willing to be honest with yourself when you get down that path and find out that there's some things that you actually need to do or some things in yourself that you need to work on, if you don't want to be honest with that, then you will get stuck. The last thing that you have to be willing to do in order to reinvent your career is that you actually have to be willing to put the time in. I wish I could tell you that it was a quick and easy process. And what I'm here to tell you is that it is a simple process and that there are some things that you can do to make things quicker than if you were just kind of out there trying to figure it out on your own. But is it a quick process? The answer to that question is no. Why? Because you're making a big change. And you only control 50% of the process. You control what you put out in the world. But you don't control when things come back to you. And it takes time for things to come back to you. You also cannot put everything out at once. You have to learn information and put new things out. So it's a process that takes time. You have to be willing to invest anywhere from 6 months to a year in the process, or even longer, depending upon what you want to do. Our UN person, Tashef, she's been reinventing herself for about a year and a half. Why? Because she had to go back to school for what she wanted to do. Our interior designer took about 6 months to 8 months, but she went back to school. Her program was shorter, then she could go right into it. So again, depends on what you want to do, but you have to be willing to put in the time. And I have had people who have called in and said, I want to do this in 6 weeks. And I say, if you want the results, it will take you longer. If you want the fantasy, sure, 6 weeks, you can have the fantasy. But to have it reality, it's going to take time. So let's talk about those things that actually can delay your reinvention. What are the three unconscious actions that will delay your reinvention if you're not aware of them? The first one I've actually already mentioned. It's having to know the answer before you begin. If you have to know the answer, you will delay your reinvention for the reason that I said earlier. It is impossible to be 100% sure before you begin because you don't have enough information. So you have to let go of having the answer and move towards having an idea, or preferably three. So that's how you get around that. Have an idea and a couple of other options, and then explore them and see which one comes up. In fact, our chef, she had an idea that she might also be an event planner or a designer, in addition to a chef. And she explored all three, and then the chef was the one that won out. So you always have a couple of different things. Don't have to know the answer before you begin. The second thing that's going to delay your reinvention is actually if you think about it for too long before taking your first action step. We've done studies of people, actually 350 professionals, about 70% of whom successfully reinvented their career. And one of the findings was that the longer you thought about your reinvention before taking your first action step, the less likely you were to actually successfully reinvent your career. So if you think about it and think about it and think about it, it actually delays your reinvention. So those of you who feel like you just have to plan everything and lay it all out to death before you take your first step, no. You actually have to take your first step sooner rather than later. Otherwise, you will never. There were people who had been thinking about their reinvention for 2 years and still hadn't taken their first step. Seems that if the longer you think about it, the more anxiety and stress is around the process, and then the less likely you're actually to take action and make things happen. So take your action step quickly. The third thing that can delay your reinvention is making money your top reinvention goal. If money is important, not to say that it's not, but if money, earning more money, is your top reinvention goal, I will tell you right now that that's not reinvention, that's just getting another job. And that's what I would recommend that you do. In fact, our study showed that the people who money was the most important part of their reinvention, actually, those people did not reinvent themselves. Of the people who reinvented, the 70% who successfully reinvented themselves, not one of them had money as their top goal. So again, if money is your top goal, and that's okay, just know that it's not a career reinvention, it's finding a job. And if it's about the money, then you need to find a job that's most likely to deliver the most money, which means that it's about what you've been doing in some way, shape, or form already. And that's fine. But don't try to make a career reinvention deliver money first. Now, that said, the people who had successfully reinvented themselves, now a significant number of them, in fact, ended up with more money, but that wasn't why they set out to reinvent themselves. So it can't be the driving force behind your reinvention. Now that we're talking about money, let's really talk about money. So what about the money? Here's the thing. The Wall Street Journal has performed an overall analysis, a meta-analysis of about 150 studies that varying academic institutions and places have done, and it found that contrary to common wisdom, that wealth and happiness do not go hand in hand. So the thing is that wealth doesn't always bring happiness. That's the first piece that's really important to understand around career reinvention, because it talks about exactly what I was just saying, which is that if you make it about the money, you can delay the fulfillment and the satisfaction that comes from this reinvention process. And as I said, in our studies, we found that money was not the most important result listed by successful reinventors, even though, as I said, significant percent of them ended up with more money. They did not list it as the most important result. In fact, their most important results from their reinventions were getting more passion and enjoyment from work. That was the number one result. Number two was having a better lifestyle and more freedom and flexibility in their schedule. And then number three was doing something of value and having a greater intellectual challenge. So those are the things that your reinvention will deliver, and money is a bonus, okay? Now, here's the thing. I am a realist. Money is required in order for you to have the life that you want to have. So this is not to say that, do what you love and the money will follow, which I believe is a myth. You know, it's a fantasy. Sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. And you have to meet your basic financial needs in order to have your life run. Remember, the fundamental of reinvention is coming up with an idea of the life that you want and crafting a career that can deliver that lifestyle. And money is an integral part of that. But it can be a barrier to the reinvention. So let's talk about some strategies for overcoming this money barrier. The first thing is that you have to even know how much money you require. So you have to create what I call a reinvention budget. And that budget includes what your minimum lifestyle number is. And that means understanding what does it take for you to live the lifestyle that you want. What is that minimum number? And that doesn't mean stripping out everything so that you can never have another dinner out or a little bit of pleasure in your life. No. That, this is to say just your minimum lifestyle number. What is required in order for you to meet all your expenses, all your obligations, and have some pleasure in your life? You need to identify that number first. Then you need to add in the costs associated with exploring your reinvention. And this is a key piece because most people think sometimes about that minimum budget number, but they don't think about how much is it going to cost me to actually explore my reinvention. If you have to go back to school, that's an investment. If you want to just take a seminar, that's an investment. If you need to get new business cards, that's an investment. So you also want to come up with how much it's going to cost you to actually begin launching your reinvention. So that's one of the key strategies for overcoming the money barrier. The second strategy for overcoming the money barrier is that if you're currently working, to consider your current position, or if you're not working, you know, a temp position or some consulting opportunities, consider it as a funding source for your reinvention. And this is really an attitude shift because many people consider their current job as a barrier to their reinvention. But if it's delivering cash flow, it's delivering an essential piece that you need in order to reinvent yourself. So consider it as, hey, I'm doing this for funding as I begin to explore my reinvention. And in fact, once you start to look at your current job as a resource, it can deliver not only funding, but it can deliver other things. Maybe there's training that you can do under the auspices of your job that will help move you into a new area. Or maybe your job puts you in touch with people that you can network with for your new career. So look at your current job to see what kind of cash flow it can deliver to help you on your reinvention path, and then look at it as other resources that it might offer to you. Now, I got a question prior to this class. Do you ever recommend quitting a current job without another one or an alternative source of income lined up? And my recommendation is if you don't have to quit, don't. As a person who's actually done it, so I'm speaking from the voice of experience here, it's not impossible to reinvent yourself if you've already quit, but it's a lot more stressful because then you always have the money thing that, you know, you're worried about money running out, or if you have enough in savings where you can let it go for a year, that's a great thing. So, you know, if you can stay with your current job and have that cash flow coming in, then I do recommend that that's the best way. But if you have to quit, and in fact, I did have to quit because work until 2 or 3 in the morning, I had no time, then that's what you have to do, and then you want to find other sources. Better to line that stuff up front because it creates less stress. The more stressed you are, the more difficult it is to reinvent yourself, and the more likely you are to just take something because you've got money pressures. So the key is to be able to mitigate that so that you give yourself the time and the space to let your reinvention play itself out. The third strategy that you want to do to overcome the money barrier is to give yourself a timeline. And this is key because, of course, you need to know not only funding, but how much time do you have? How much time does your money give you? And then come up with a plan B for funding if your timeline actually extends. So say you say, I have 6 months. I have 6 months of funding. Great. So now you know you've got 6 months. But you want to come up with a plan B because what if you hit 6 months and you're making great headway, but, hey, it just hasn't played itself out yet, and now all of a sudden you've got a need to have cash flow coming in. You want to know up front what your plan B is. If you hit that point where your first timeline has run out, what are you going to do for money if you need to hang in there for another 6 months? And so my recommendation is that whatever your timeline is, and I recommend that it's a minimum of 6 months, that you figure out what your plan B is if your timeline actually has to double. So what would you do for another 6 months? Or if your timeline's a year, what would you do if it had to be another year? There are people who it takes 2 years to reinvent their career. But here's the thing. Those 2 years are going to pass anyway. And at the end of that 2 years, if you put in the time and you made it work and you've got that lifestyle that you love, was it worth spending the time? I say yes. The fourth strategy for overcoming the money barrier is to understand your money signifier, and that's what I call it, your money signifier, and address it. So what's a money signifier? Now, psychologist Abraham Maslow has a theory called the hierarchy of needs. And what that says is that as long as our basic needs for food and shelter are met, that we can turn our attention from survival to actually self-actualization, as they call it, okay? So to higher concerns. The same is true of our relationship with money. Once we reach a certain level of income, meaning that once we've met our basic needs financially, money shifts from being a means of having survival or ensuring survival to a way of satisfying our other needs. And at that level, at the higher needs level, money becomes a signifier. So it's an abstract concept that represents something else to us. And that could mean something like freedom or security or power or time. So again, once our basic financial needs are met, money starts to become a signifier. It represents something like money, time, power, or security to us. So the key is to understand what's your money signifier. What does money really represent to you? Let me give you an example. Say that for you, money, having more money, represents having security. Why you have to understand this, why this is essential for your reinvention, is that you need to know that, in fact, what you're seeking is security and not money. So you have to find ways to give yourself security, and it's not always about money. I'll give you an example of that. Say money for you means security. You take a job at a competing firm because it gives you a big bump in salary, but that company is known for frequent layoffs. So even though you have more money, you're constantly worrying about your new job and you don't have security. Or another example, let's say that you equate money with more time off. So you take a promotion because you get a big pay increase, and then all of a sudden you hate the long hours that you have to work in order to have that money. You got more money, but you didn't get more time. So you have to understand, what's my money signifier? If it's time, then make sure that you craft your reinvention so that it delivers more time. It delivers your basic financial needs, and then it delivers time, or it delivers security. So that's the fourth thing around money. I'm taking it apart and understanding, hey, what am I really seeking, and then seeking that. So let's talk about your reinvention travel plan, what you actually have to do. And if we're going back to the metaphor of moving to the foreign country, moving to your reinvention goal, your dream career. And there are four main components to making this switch. The first is identifying your reinvention goal. And as I mentioned earlier, it's not one goal. Don't look for the answer. You want to come up with two, a minimum of two, and preferably three options. This is so that as you start down the path, you have more than one thing to explore, and that if one thing ends up not being the right path for you, that you have some other options going on. So let's talk about two easy exercises for identifying a reinvention goal, some options for your reinvention goal. The first one is to look to your ideal day. So to actually identify what would be your ideal day, what would you be doing from the moment that you wake up? Take it in detail. Where do you wake up? Who's around you? What does it look like? What do you do first thing in the morning? You know, then, again, if you leave and go out to work, or maybe you walk down the hall to work, or maybe you just get on the phone, then take it all through the steps. The key is just to think about your lifestyle, not about the particular. So you're not thinking, oh, I'm going to do a job to do this. No, you're thinking about, hey, I'm walking down the hall to my home office. I'm driving to our downtown area and coming into an office with five other people. I'm walking into a big company. I'm getting on a plane. Whatever it is for you, you don't think about the topic. You just think about the day, what you're doing during that day. Then you extend it to your life, and you broaden the vision. Once you come up with an ideal day or your ideal lifestyle, then you brainstorm ideas for careers that can deliver that lifestyle. And usually there's more than one. And if you're having problems brainstorming that, look to the world to see who else has that kind of lifestyle and what they're doing. You just make a list, and you can come up with at least 10. And those of you who are thinking, oh, no, I couldn't come up with 10, trust me, you can. When I work with my one-on-one coaching clients, every one of them says, I can't come up with 10, and in fact, you can if you think hard enough and if you look to the world for examples. The second exercise that you can do to identify a reinvention goal, and this is also very easy, is to identify the three coolest things you could see yourself doing if money were no object. And then once you've come up with those three really cool things that you would do if money were no object, then you look to see who's making money doing those things. Again, many people start saying, well, you know, nobody's earning money doing the thing that I love. A lot of times that's not true. Number one, you've got three things on your list. So, you know, one of those things, somebody's earning money. And for people who say, oh, it's not possible, I love to just mention the example of the woman with the teddy bear hospital. She was on an Oprah show a year or so ago where, you know, she repairs teddy bears for people who have had their bears since childhood and have been falling apart and but just don't want to part with it. So they send their bears to her. She's the teddy bear hospital. She repairs them. So she makes millions of dollars repairing teddy bears. Everybody can make money doing their dream. Let's talk about the next step. So first, now you've identified your reinvention goal. You've gone through those easy exercises and you've identified a goal. What do you do next? Now, this is not a class about the details of all of these steps because, as I said, you know, this is the first in a series about even getting started. And getting started just means really identifying your goal and sort of working yourself through that process. There will be additional teleclasses that go into these next steps more deeply. But at first, I want to tell you that after you've identified your goal, then what you're going to do is you're going to research, network, and learn about your target. And I did get a question here where somebody asked me about getting past automated barriers and if you wanted to find senior-level jobs without recruiting or traveling to networking events. And the reason I bring that up here is that I just wanted to say that networking is a really effective and essential tool to making this transition, to successfully reinventing yourself. And that networking is, in this case, when we talk about reinvention, is a personal process. It's not going online. If you happen to see a job online, it's finding a way to go into a company and meet with somebody there personally because they have to know that you have to pitch yourself directly to them. And because you're reinventing yourself, your background doesn't obviously make sense. And so that takes us to the third step, which is that as you're researching, networking, and learning, the other thing that you have to do is that you have to repackage yourself. You actually have to reframe your background within the language of your new career. And I'm going to say that again because it is such an important thing. You have to reframe your background in the language of your new career. You have to translate your background for your target career. And this brings up another question that I got asked prior to class, which was, how can I find someone who will read through the lines and pick out my transferable skills as they used to years ago when the job search wasn't as automated? And what I say to that is that the world has changed and that it is your responsibility to translate your background. You cannot rely on somebody else to do that work for you. And that, in fact, if you do, you will not be successful in reinventing your career. It is your job to translate your background and to put your skills and talents in a language that they understand so that they're able to see your transferable skills. Again, I can't stress this because this is one of the things, again, that it's a common error that people make. They send out their background and they want the hiring manager to know, to glean from their materials that, hey, you know, I can do this. But if you haven't done that work of explaining how your background's relevant to their career, why should they do the work for you? I'm very pragmatic about things like that. They've got 100 other resumes sitting on their desk, and you're going to make them work. That will not work. Your resume will end up in the circular file, as they call it, or the wastebasket. Okay. So, again, your responsibility, key piece of repackaging yourself in this reinvention process, translating your background in the language of your new career. And then the fourth step to reinventing yourself is then getting out and actually telling your story. So let's take a moment to deal with the fear, because that's a key piece also that can stop you from getting started on your reinvention. And I want to talk about five strategies for turning your fear into momentum that can actually keep you moving as opposed to stopping you. The first one is that you want to create what I call a stock answer for concerned people. And I got a question that says, what do you tell well-meaning friends about your progress or your lack thereof of career change? And my comment to that is that, first of all, you want to be really careful who you talk to about your reinvention. I've been writing this series in my blog about how reinventing yourself is like rock climbing. And what I said in yesterday's post was that climbers know better than to go telling everybody about the fact that they've just scaled some huge mountain or wall, because people tend to freak out about it. It triggers fear in others to think that somebody might be scaling a sheer face of rock. So they've learned you just don't talk to everybody about it. You have to select who you speak to about it. That's the first key also in career reinvention. Don't talk to everybody about your career change because it triggers fear. If they themselves have not done it, they will feel fear for you taking a risk, and they will make it their business to tell you all the dangers that you face. So if somebody decides that they're going to do that, what do you say to them? You have a stock answer in advance saying, thank you for your comments. That's it. You don't have to explain. Or if they're saying, what's up with your reinvention? Just say, it's going well. Things are moving. And if they say, like what? Well, you know, I've been putting stuff out there and I've been getting response. Stay as nebulous as possible, but my advice really is to stay away from talking about it in general. Find people who are also reinventing themselves and talk to them about it, because they understand and they also are in the same path, and then you can really have a conversation about what's going on instead of defending yourself against other people's fears. But if you know up front and you have an answer ready, then you can move on. Or you can say, you know, I'm taking classes, and that's it. But just keep it real simple. Don't explain yourself. Don't defend. Second thing around dealing with fear that can help shift it is that asking yourself how something can be done, not if something can be done. This is a great way of shifting it and turning fear into momentum. Asking yourself how all of a sudden says, it makes your mind start thinking about action steps. It makes it be more creative, like, oh, how can I do this? All of a sudden you're in research mode and you're moving towards something. If you ask yourself if something can be done, all of a sudden the fear starts setting in. You start worrying, which means it's the antithesis of action. So asking yourself how something can be done is a way, a really effective way, of shifting fear into momentum. The third thing is to put a different frame on it, put a different timeline on it. So look at what's happening, look at this change, this reinvention that you're going on, whatever you're afraid of, in the context of a month or a year or a lifetime. Look back at it and say, well, a month from now, am I going to be worried about this, or is this going to feel so fearful? Or a year from now, you know, will this seem like such a hurdle? Or when I'm 80, will this have seemed like something so big that I really should stop? Oftentimes when you change your perspective on it, all of a sudden, when you're 80 years old looking back at yourself saying, I guess it's not such a big deal, get over it, that will shift your fear and help you move through it and turn it into momentum. The fourth thing that can help you shift your fear into things that move you is that you can chunk it down into smaller, manageable steps. So don't try to take the big thing that's triggering all your fear. Just take one little teeny step that just seems so easy that, hey, of course I can do that. And then take another small step that says, of course I can do that. I always say, don't try to get from the bottom of the stairs to the top of the stairs without taking the stairs. Take little steps each way, and eventually you'll get there. If something's really seeming like a big hurdle, break it down into small steps. Small steps are a lot less scary than big chunks. The fifth suggestion that I have for dealing with fear that can turn it into momentum is to activate your network of support. So when you're feeling afraid, sometimes it's just going out to the people who are supportive, the ones that you've identified in advance, or doing some self-care activities, like, you know, your yoga or pursuing your hobbies, things that really nurture you. So you get support, and that way, all of a sudden, you're feeling better, and it can help move you through your fear. These are the kinds of things that will help you shift. These are actually tools that you can keep in your toolkit that will help you shift fear into action and momentum. The last thing that I want to talk about as a part of getting started, which is a really essential piece to all of this, is understanding the role of myths and fantasies around career reinvention. Now, as I said earlier, the goal of reinvention is to identify a lifestyle that's going to make you feel fulfilled, and then what you have to do is plan and execute steps towards a career that can deliver and sustain that lifestyle. But somehow, the idea of attaining a dream lifestyle is one that is just ripe for fantasy, which can make it harder to assess the benefits and the pitfalls of that lifestyle. So know that this is something that really can trigger your ideas and fantasies and make you think, all right, this is it. And then it really becomes a barrier to actually making progress. So the key is to understand what your fantasies are and what your myths are around reinvention. In order to get started, you've actually got to unravel your fantasies and explode your myths. So let's talk about some myths, because some of the myths are, you know, really big ones, and your fantasies are your own fantasies. But we'll talk about the myths. One is that big myth that I always hear: my life will be perfect when I switch careers. How many of you actually heard that going through your head? Oh my God, if I could just get out of this and make the switch, oh, everything will be perfect, it'll be so good. That's a myth. The thing is that when you switch careers, your career will be different. But if there are other things that are making you unhappy in your life, you're going to have to work on those things too. So taking all that baggage off of making this career shift is an important thing, exploding that myth and knowing that, yeah, your career will be different. However, things will still be going wrong. There'll be things in your new career that you don't enjoy. It won't be perfect. It will be good, but it won't be perfect. If you don't explode your myths up front, you either force your dreams to carry a lot of baggage, so much baggage that it's impossible to make a move, or you set yourself up for disappointment when you get there. So that's why you really want to explode your myths and have a realistic view of what's going on. Let's talk about another myth, a really common myth that actually stops people. I'm too old for this. I got a question from somebody saying, I'm in my early 60s. Is there a time when it's too late to reinvent? My answer to that question is that the only time that it's too late to reinvent is when you're in the grave. Any time before that, as long as you have breath in your body, you can reinvent. And people do all the time. So no, there is no time when it's too late to reinvent. As long as you have something to give to this world and something you want to do, go ahead, reinvent yourself. It's beautiful. There are plenty of people who do things after the age of 60, 70. Matter of fact, my mother is one of them. She has just embarked on yet another career, and she is 65, her third one. Her first career reinvention after 35 years at the same company, first career reinvention, happened after 50. So it is never too late to follow your dreams and to have a fulfilling life. Let's talk about another myth. As I said earlier, oh, the next job will be perfect. The new job will have none of the headaches of the old job. Not true. Your new career, your fantasy career, may have some of the same headaches that you face in your old career. The difference is that if you expect it up front, then you can decide whether or not it's still worth it to you to make the change. Let me give you an example of that from my own experience. When I was on Wall Street, one of the things that I didn't like about the people, and forgive me in advance if you were on Wall Street, but one of the things that I didn't like people on Wall Street tended to have a lot of ego, big egos. When I decided to move to entertainment career, I decided to check, because of course people in the entertainment career are also known for having big egos. So I had to explode that myth of, oh my gosh, when I leave Wall Street, I won't have to deal with these big egos. Just wasn't true. What I decided up front was that if I enjoyed the topic and I really had a lot of fun doing it, that big egos would be okay with me. And in fact, they were. But that's something that you want to decide up front realistically, not have a fantasy that you won't face some of the same things that you did in your old career. Another myth that can stop people: what I want doesn't exist. 98% of the time, not true. 98% of the time, not true. Somebody out there is doing it. And for the 2% where that is true, then do it. There were plenty of things that didn't exist in this world before somebody decided that they were going to do it. So just because you think your dream job doesn't exist doesn't mean it can't. Now, it might not be the most common thing going, but hey, you can be one of the few who does it. Let's talk about another myth. I'll have to start all over again. And I got a question with sort of variation on this. Do I have to go back to school? And the answer is that career reinvention is starting over on some levels, but will you have to start all over again? Most likely not. The thing is that most people think that they have to go for entry-level positions. In fact, I was having this conversation with someone just a day or so ago. And what I said to them was that if you think you're going to have to go into another entry-level job, that in fact you won't, because most people won't hire you for an entry-level job if you've got 25 years of experience. So again, that's a myth that you're going to have to go into entry-level somewhere else. You just can't. Once you've got a body of experience, you're going to have to take that experience and move it into a higher level. So don't think you'll have to start all over again completely. You will get to take some of your background with you, but you will have to start over in some ways. That's the answer to that. That's the reality behind the myth. And then the last myth that I want to mention is, when I switch to something different, I'll enjoy 100% of my job. Again, a variation on life is perfect. You will not enjoy 100% of anything. Again, big fantasy that, everything's going to be okay, or, everything will smooth out and I won't have any problems. No. Even if you're doing the thing that makes you feel most passionate and fulfilled and happy to wake up every day, there will still be challenges and there will still be some percentage that you don't enjoy. The difference is that it will be worth it to you for all the rewards that you're getting on the other side, for feeling passionate and fulfilled. It's okay to deal with some of the things that you don't like. And therein is the difference. And therein is the most important thing around career reinvention.
And here we are at the end of this Reinvention Kickstart audio course. And now you have the fundamentals of your reinvention at your fingertips. If you haven't already done so, be sure to take some time to really dig deep into the companion workbook for this course. Spend some time envisioning the changes you'll see and how you'll feel when you have work and a life that you love. And when you're ready to dive into the nitty-gritty of creating your dream life, or if you're already in the mix of creating it and you just like some coaching and support on your journey, we are here for you. We'd love to help you create a clear vision of both what you want to do and how you want to live, and help you develop a practical plan that leads you right to your goals. When you want to take that step, check out our Reinvention Accelerator. This is our flagship program that's specifically designed to help you launch and accelerate your reinvention. You can learn about it, along with our other coaching services, by visiting us at planetreinvention.com. Thank you again for the honor of being your reinvention coach in this audio course. I wish you much success and joy in your reinvention. Bye for now.